Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Molly O'Neill, president of the ICF Phoenix chapter, and I'm sitting in for Tamara Stark, who is going to be our interviewer today. And I'm here with Cindy Reinhart. Cindy is a MCC coach. She was a founding member of the ICF and also one of our pioneer coaches. She trained with Thomas Leonard. She is a Newfield graduate and is fully trained in the IPEC energy leadership work. And Cindy currently resides in Colorado, and she offers masterful energy leadership coaching. So I, for one, am very excited to hear what Cindy has to say, so let's jump right in. Cindy, hello and welcome.
Hi, Molly. Thanks so much. I'm delighted to be here on this very snowy afternoon in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
Fantastic, and we're so happy to have you. I'd like to just start. I'm just so curious about the fact that you've been coaching for so many years. So actually, how long have you been coaching, and what drew you to coaching?
Gosh, Molly, don't get me started. That could be a two-hour show right in the south. And probably not that interesting. I was at one of those places in life where I was asking what's next. I had left a job in public service in a local bureaucracy in Houston, Texas, and I was just on an exploration. And I had this crazy idea that I'm a trained urban planner, and I had this crazy idea that I could use my planning skills to help small business owners take control of their businesses. I don't know what it was, but something I just noticed that business owners, and this was in 1991, 92, I just noticed they all seemed crazed that their businesses were running their life. And I just started talking about that. I'd never heard of coaching. Most of us hadn't. And I met a woman. A woman hired me to do some training material, do the writing for some training materials. She was training with Thomas Leonard. I met him. He came to Houston, Texas to do a weekend workshop. And I met him just by coincidence the day before, talked with him a little bit. He invited me to his two-day coaching workshop. This was before he founded Coach U, and I felt like I had just walked into home. I ate it up. I was like a sponge, and so I've been, you know, being a coach and continuing to develop my skills and learn and experiment ever since.
Well, I'd love to know what your thoughts are on what distinguishes a master coach from other coaches.
Oh, wow, what a great question. You know, on one level, I'm one of those funny ducks that while I absolutely believe in our certification process, and I think it is, you know, the best way we as professionals can regulate ourselves as opposed to being regulated by some bureaucracy that doesn't have a clue what coaching is. There is a that believes that on some level we all have elements of mastery in us and that we express. So I know that's not a really very clear answer, but, you know, one thing in our profession, we have declared that what distinguishes master coaching from other really good coaching, other accredited coaching, are some very specific levels in each of the competencies. And you know, for me, it's the I think it's the ease of the dance You know, I know that sometimes I get off of a call with a client, and I don't feel like I've been very masterful, you know, and I still have my MCC designation. And then other times, boy, I just feel like, you know, the client and I have done this dance of mastery. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that says, it really answers your question, but it's one of those that is almost a philosophical question.
Well, what I'm hearing is that mastery is something that we see all along the way, and it just grows and grows and grows.
Indeed. You know, and we may be more masterful, or I think we are more masterful in some aspects of our coaching than we are in others. And so I think one thing that distinguishes a master is a commitment to mastery. So a commitment to ongoing learning. You know, wow, I just noticed that I feel like my coaching isn't as effective here. What could I learn about that? What could I practice? So I think a lot of mastery comes from both our way of being and our the actions that we commit ourselves to.
Fabulous. Well, before we jump into your topic of energy leadership, I would love to just get your perspective on where we've come to over these past, 20 or so years as a profession.
Wow. You know, Molly, sometimes when I read an ICF newsletter, I look at the number, and I don't even know what the current numbers are. You know, I look at the number of credentialed coaches. I look at the number of members we have around the world, the number of countries that we're in, the notices that I get as a member of the accreditation team. You know, we need somebody who speaks fluent. You know, we've gone from French and German to, you know, some of the other less known in Spanish to some of the less known, you know, languages. I marvel at, you know, when we, at the very first time we came together as coaches in the U.S., pre-ICF, and there were maybe 150 or 60 people in the room, most of whom were Coach U, because that's, you know, there were other coach training schools, but there wasn't communication among all of them, but that's what the ICF grew out of. And I, you know, I marvel at not just the numbers, at what we've accomplished, at how the public is beginning to understand coaching more and more, that it's a part of, you know, the language in businesses and organizations, that we have this, I think, thorough and comprehensive and well-spoken set of competencies that many schools and different, you know, schools and approaches and schools of thought came together to create. So in just, the ICF, I think, just celebrated its, 16th anniversary, and we had a couple of conferences before that. So in less than 20 years, I think we've demonstrated that we are the profession we declared ourselves to be in the very beginning, and we continue to deepen and grow that.
Wow. Magnificent. And what opportunities do you see ahead, just briefly, before we continue on?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm one of those people who believes in unlimited opportunity, and so the more that one believes in oneself, and the more one has a commitment to whatever it is they want to contribute on the planet, then, you know, I'm not that visionary to say, you know, to say what's possible. I think anything is possible.
Wow, thank you for that. Such a wonderful glimpse into you know, the journey of our profession. So fantastic. So how did you get involved with this whole energy leadership coaching model?
Well, I was feeling like I wanted something a little different. wasn't sure what it was, and was really researching and looking for, you know, what's the next training that I want to do, you know, both to get my CCEUs, but more than that, to deepen my learning. And all, you know, from day one in coaching, I've always talked with my clients about their energy. So talk about, you know, gee, it sounds like you're kind of in a place of feeling like a victim, you know. And I used to talk, and sometimes still do with clients who are old enough to remember, imagine a switchboard. That's the energy switchboard. What energy do you want to plug into? And, you know, sometimes clients would get it, sometimes they didn't. And when I saw this model and when I saw an assessment tool where someone can answer about 70 questions and get a picture of their energetic profile, of where they fall within 7 levels of energy and what happens just normally, and then what happens to them under stress, I was like, wow, that's what I've been like listening for and trying to explain to a client, and wow, here it is on one page, and they've answered the questions that create that page. I really like this.
Wow.
So I, you know, found out a little bit more information. I have a colleague who may be listening in and might ask us a question later on, who actually did the training before I did and did an assessment for me. And when I saw that assessment, it just had a deep true ring of truth, and you know, a lot of possibilities, and so that's why I decided to do that training.
So before we dive a little bit more into what that assessment is all about, let's talk a little bit more about the connection between energy and leadership. What have you discovered about that that's important for us to know?
Well, I think even before we talk about that, let me just speak a little bit about leadership, because I think still in our culture, we think of leadership as a kind of organizational, hierarchical kind of thing, and people, a lot of people tend to think, and this is particularly true of people who seek life coaching and even sometimes life coaches, we're always leading. We might not be leading others, but we're always leading. We might be simply leading ourselves. So for me, the definition of leadership is, you know, the ability and the energy of that is, what's my capacity to step forward in the way of being and the way of doing that I want? And if I'm in a position of leadership in an organization, which might even be my family of two, or you know, sometimes it's just me and my dog. What's the energy I bring to that relationship, and how does the energy that I bring impact my capacity to influence? And again, influence myself or influence those on my team. If I'm, you know, or I've been in a water and sanitation board meeting most of today, what's the energy that I bring to that environment and my capacity to influence, have the other board members hear me and hear my opinion, and not always get them to agree with me, but my ability to make my point.
Cindy, let me just take a little moment here to announce to our listeners the call-in number in case they'd like to get on and ask you a question. So that number is 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. So fantastic. I'm intrigued with this whole personal leadership thing, that we're not what shall I say? We're not just passively where we are. In other words, from hearing you talk, I understand that we're leading ourselves. And so that's an intriguing thought to me. Can you say more about that?
I could say so much. I could say so much more. I'm going to be a good coach and throw it back to you, or maybe a good coach. But tell me more about what you're curious about to help me, because really, I, as you can tell, I'm passionate about this, and I could just go on and on. So I really want to address your curiosity, Molly.
Well, I think it's around this. You know, sometimes we get so in our energy. You know, we're feeling angry. We're feeling fear or whatever it is. And it feels like that's just who we are in that moment. And so the thought that we can do our own kind of intervention to say, okay, you know, how do I lead myself out of this space that I'm in, that I don't necessarily want to hang out here forever. How do I get out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the first, you know, the first piece is actually the awareness that you're there. And yet, like, when I'm angry, I know I'm angry. But when I can own that anger or own that feeling of being the victim or own whatever it is, that's the point at which I can begin to see what got me there and that it was actually a choice, probably an unconscious choice, but a choice. And when I can see that it was a choice, I can begin to envision that perhaps there's a different choice, or I can look at what got me here, you know, through and do my own work, or I can, you know, shoot an email to my coach and say, you know, SOS. let me just talk about the two types of energy that this model is based on, and you focused on, you know, one of the two lower levels of energy, the energy of anger and conflict. The other lower level energy is the energy of the victim, where we're apathetic, lethargic. And those two, you know, sort of levels of energy, you know, there are lots of synonyms and pieces within them, but those two levels of energy are catabolic energy. And in catabolism, that is breakdown. that is destructive energy. And, you know, and you just said, you know, I want to get out of it. I don't want to stay there. So if you think of the body as an energy system, then that's guided by or fueled by what we feed it. So when I'm aware that I'm angry, or when I'm aware that I'm feeling like a victim, if I can get a little bit more awareness of that and realize and start asking, what is it that I'm thinking? Or as Benjamin Zander says, what am I assuming that I don't know I'm assuming that gives me what I see? That then I can begin to see the thought behind, or the thoughts behind that core emotion, that feeling that I'm having. And often with the help of a coach, we can then begin to ask, well, you know, things like, is that true? Or what else might be possible? So the coaching approaches at these levels are exactly what you said, to help the client develop ways to move past, to be aware of it, and sustained ways to move beyond it, so that they don't always need their coach. I mean, we're growing people. so that they can then move into the levels of energy that are anabolic, the building energies, the positive energies, the energies that support us, that are constructive. And again, how we do that is, you know, through it is through various ways of questioning, either questioning ourselves or putting ourselves in the place of or in the presence of a coach or someone who will help walk us through a process so that we can see, you know, what we're thinking, what we're saying, and begin to make different choices.
Wow. So let me ask you this, in terms of the catabolic energy.
Yeah.
When we're experiencing that energy, but it's coming from, let's say it's coming from actually a high place, maybe one of our values is being stepped on, and we're angry, you know, about the situation that we're in that's causing that expression of value. Now, is that still catabolic?
Well, it can be. It depends on how we express that anger. So I believe in the power of transformation, and the best example I can give, you know, in United States history, is Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And certainly there was anger and resentment and defiance about the way things were, or the women's rights movement. And honestly, if you think of any movement for social change, or even maybe any movement for your own personal transformation, it came because you recognized where I am, where we are, is not the highest and best use of me or of our values. And so when you begin to recognize that, you can then move into a different level of energy. You can move into a different level of energy. Otherwise, you're expressing the anger as conflict, and with the idea in conflict, we create win-lose. And what I think most of us or many of us would like to create is a sense of oneness, or certainly a sense of being able to for everyone to win, not for it to be win lose. And so we shift our level of energy, we see different ways that we can express that what has been triggered, but in ways that are more positive and forward moving. So, you know, Martin Luther King really speaking about peace and about what would be possible with reconciliation. So, you know, he moved us, and I haven't talked about what the five levels are, I mean the seven levels are, but he expressed, you know, what was the anger and rage that was triggered, not as conflict, but as compassion, as care, as service, and as a bigger possibility.
Okay. So then, is it actually a balance we're looking for between catabolic and anabolic, or are we better off eliminating that catabolic energy? How does it work?
Well, I try to live in a world of what's possible when, as opposed to good and bad and better and that kind of thing. Again, I think you so beautifully said anger at something that is not okay with you because of your values creates an awareness for you. So it isn't so much of a balance. It's, okay, now I recognize that. what do I want to do with it? What could be possible if I looked at it from a different level of energy? Do I want to go in conflict? You know, do I want to, I mean, one of my passions is personal empowerment and how, you know, we've given so much of our power away to, you know, to other powers, to corporations, to and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I could spend my time, you know, protesting and wringing my hands about that, or I can ask, what could I do about that? What would be possible, you know, if I come to this with from a place of concern and compassion and looked for, you know, what's a win? What's a win for everybody? What would that look like? Not that I know the answer, but that's the energy that I bring to the question, rather than, you know, those blanks, they're just, and and not seeing any possibility for change. Or the same within myself. I'll give a personal example, because that's more of a leadership, organizational leadership example. I went through a phase of feeling really apathetic about my work. I felt like kind of a little bit like I was a victim of the economy and of some choices I'd made and how I wanted to live my life that had what I at one point assessed was a negative impact on my business. And I was just in a little bit of a guilt, self-doubt, worry, fear loop. And so it wasn't that I wanted to balance that. It was actually the ELI for me was a wake-up call. Wow, this is what's going on, and I'm not in any place looking at, you know, what's possible. So how could I move my energy up the scale? You know, what if I looked at this from a place of ambition, for example? Mm-hmm. What would that be like? What would it take, you know, to get me there?
So what I'm hearing is that we can get more skillful at understanding and responding to the catabolic energy as a messenger.
Absolutely. That's very well said. And, the energy leadership process and the assessment itself really gives us that snapshot. So it may be helpful, and you redirect me if it wouldn't, but let me just go through the seven levels. I distinguished catabolic and anabolic energy, and I talked about victim and apathy as the lowest level of energy, of catabolic energy, and then anger and conflict as the second. But I haven't really talked about what are the other five levels? What are the, once I come out of the basement and there's light, what are those, what does it look like as I move up, as I move up from floor to floor? So the third level of energy is the energy of responsibility. And the core feeling and emotion is forgiveness. And the possibility or the action is cooperation. So you can see just in moving from anger to I forgive him for being such a jerk, you know, or I forgive my boss for whatever in an organization. How just that little act, taking responsibility for feeling how I feel, can begin to lead
next,
to cooperation.
We are going to have time for some questions and answers. If you are listening in to this show live, next we are going to have time for some questions and answers. If you are listening in to this show live, please call in at 424-243-9638. I repeat, 424-243-9638. And you will have your turn to speak with Catherine and our guests. Thank you so much.
Hello?
Hello, sorry about this. Here is Anna Malikian, the producer. Molly, she dropped from the call and the automatic message came in. But carry on, Cindy, please, with your answer.
Okay, no worries. I wasn't looking at the control panel. So then once we move, up to that first level of anabolic energy, I think you can see the difference between anger and forgiveness, between conflict and cooperation. Then the next level up is the level of concern or the level of service, where we bring compassion in, and the action, as I say, is service. It's a place where gratitude and love, the level where gratitude and love begin to enter in. So imagine if we took some of our conflicts, our internal conflicts, our conflicts in our relationships, whatever.
Next,
conflict.
We are going to have time for some question and answers.
I'm so sorry about these technical problems today. But go on. I don't know if Molly probably is trying to enter and the message is coming on. So sorry.
No worries. It's a great topic to be talking about when breakdowns happen, because there's a place I could go to and make this about me. But it's like I'm just here because I'm so passionate about this work. So it's for me, I just notice I'm able to just stay in this level of energy where, I'm really sorry for you, Anna, because because it's like you're kind of what's going on here. So it's a beautiful example though of things that happen. In life that are unexpected. So let me just keep going and see if I can get us. Yeah. See if I can get us to the penthouse.
Okay.
And this is Molly. I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So Molly, I'm going through the levels of energy, and we've had a couple of more breakdowns since you went off, and I've got us up to the. To level four, the second level of anabolic energy, which is compassion. And I want to just take us quickly through the remaining three. The fifth
Fantastic.
Level is the level, yeah, the level of peace, empathy, the level of reconciliation. And the action, what's possible with that is peace and calm and confidence. But it requires the work to get to that place in our lives. But it's also the place where we begin to see anything is possible. Everything is an opportunity. Just like, hopefully I have been a good model of that as, Anna apologized for the technical difficulties, and I said, it's a great learning example because that's the kind of thing that happens in life that can throw us off, and we can very easily go into a lower level of energy. And yet, I don't have any control over it, and it's good that I don't, because I'm not technologically inclined. So just accepting, that's what happened. Let's dance with it. So imagine as more people in the world are able to access. The idea is not to live at any one of these levels all of the time. It's to actually have access to them by choice. So the two levels that I call the penthouse levels, the sixth level is the level of joy. That's the place where we begin to see that we are one. It's the energy of wisdom. It's how can we weave this all together? What are our similarities? And what comes out of that are wise choices or wisdom. and the penthouse of all penthouses, and the place where we don't live, you know, very much, is that place of absolute passion. There's no judgment. There's unconditional love. That does not mean we stick our heads in the sand and ignore, bad, evil things that happen, but rather that we love anyway. And this is the place where pure creation and co-creation take place. It's that ability. It's actually the place of non-judgment. And we don't live in a culture where we have systems and processes that really support us in operating so much at these higher levels. But I believe it's possible to create them. And that's a part, I think this is what coaching is up to, whether you're doing energy leadership coaching or not. If you think about it, this is really just a tool. Think about your own clients and where you start with them, and where you take them. You are helping them shift their energy.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. So then, how would you define, or what does a truly anabolic leader look like?
I'm having to bite my tongue and not use political examples because I don't want to offend anybody. I used to be an anabolic leader when I was young and passionate about city planning and public housing, and created a planning department and had a staff of five. I was like a give them orders staff sergeant. I had to make them do it because I didn't know any other way. I didn't have mentors. I was young. I'd really never worked in an organization. So, think of your, think of Dilbert, or just think let's see if I can think of another example. Think of some of your clients who are, perhaps managers in organizations where their bosses are tyrants, organizationally. Or think of in the family unit of relationships where there is not a sense of cooperation, but rather a sense of one telling the other what to do.
And so that would be catabolic leader, right?
That is catabolic leadership, and it has just like everything. Every one of these levels has something to offer in it, and everyone has a shadow. So what, as you pointed out earlier, Molly, anger can be the trigger for showing us what's wrong, what's not aligned with our values. And the trick is, when we see that, to then begin to say, well, now that I see that, what energy do I want to bring to changing it? On the other hand, the energy of joy and wisdom and synthesis and the sense of oneness of the higher levels of energy can have someone either be or be perceived as disconnected, out of touch with reality. So that's why I stay away from that one is better than the other. It's really, we have to look at the whole. Wherever there's light, there is shadow.
That's interesting. Same with that.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Well, I think a shadow side of positive thinking and positive attitude and some what some would call new age thought, and even the idea of oneness, is that if it isn't heart-centered and genuine, then there is a possibility that we can go into denial. So there's a possibility that we might not step over and not recognize something that that isn't aligned with our values. For example, you know, personally, well, let me just be a good person and accept that. You know, and I believe there are things in the world that, you know, at least I'm not willing to accept. You know, I don't know what to do about it. I'll just give you a personal example. I'm not willing to accept what we're doing to our food supply, not just in this country, but in the world, but especially in this country. And I don't know exactly how I want to be an activist about that. And I've had people say, oh, well, you know, it's just the way things are, and, you know, and thank goodness for this. And I'm like, no, what if you, and to women I say, do you enjoy the right to vote? Well, yeah. Well, what if those women who in some cases gave their lives and in other cases went to prison and suffered abuse, what if those women had not taken a stand for our right to vote? So this can be used in so many places. On the other hand, if all they had done was just be resentful and stay in conflict, these women were very creative. And if you look at all social change, if you look at, if you look at corporations that decide to transform their culture, you know, it's not an easy path, and it has risks and downsides. Or you look at the ending of apartheid in South Africa. All of those were done. Yes, certainly there were places where there was conflict, but often the conflict, there was an ability to move beyond conflict. And I think the more that we can do that, I believe that I want to be a stand for world peace, and I think world peace starts with me and my capacity to be peaceful in myself. And again, that doesn't mean sticking my head in the sand and being an ostrich, or denying, you know, that there are things in the world that, you know, I feel need to change. But I don't believe the way to do them is to fight and duke it out. And I think, I think I can make more difference as a coach and as a human being by taking care of my own peace, maybe contributing to the peace of others, more than I can by being in a peace march, although, you know, I've done that too.
So what I hear you saying is you can do a lot right within yourself to be an anabolic leader, and that has impact in the world.
Well, absolutely you can, and, I'm going to make a pitch for coaching. Because I think, again, I think that's what we were up to. My vision of coaching was really about raising consciousness. That's what attracted me to coaching, to help people become conscious of their choices. And it's from being conscious, you know, that we heal and that we grow. And so I think there are skill sets, there are skills involved in that, there are processes involved in that. You know, the Energy Leadership Index that Bruce Snyder, I want to just give credit, this is not something that I developed. Dr. Bruce Snyder the founder of IPEC Coaching, is the developer of this this program and you know the teacher of it. And it's just one tool. So I think what we do as coaches is, you know, we introduce tools to people. You know, the work of Byron Katie is another consciousness-raising tool. Newfield's observer action results models are other tools. And, you know, other schools, other coaching schools and other books have those processes. So, you know, this is just one of them that I happen to be passionate about because what it did was actually give a process to something I'd been doing with my clients all along in a way that I can get to the heart of the matter of what's going on with them, of where, you know, of where they're ground, where they're sort of living from much more quickly, you know, through using the assessment. But I don't want to leave the impression, you know, there are thousands of self-help books, and yes, people can certainly do it themselves. You know, I think the beauty of coaching, though, is that we are partners in an individual or an organization's growth process, and we bring in tools to accelerate and to deepen awareness and knowledge and skills.
I'd love to hear more about this assessment, but I have one little last question here about just the mindset of anabolic leadership. You know, is there one little nugget, one key phrase or something that could start to cultivate that kind of mindset that would lead us more deeply into the anabolic leadership?
Wow, what a great question. And I think if I knew the answer, I'd write a book. you know, I'll tell you what just came to me. It's a beautiful question. And what came to me, Molly, is actually ownership of your pain. Because catabolic energy is painful. It is painful to feel guilty, to be worried, to be embarrassed, to feel hopeless. It is painful to feel hatred and greed and blame and be stressed and disappointed and frustrated. I'm just giving you some of the additional, you know, pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we can own those, when we can own those in some way, or maybe when we can speak them, you know, I feel hopeless. Sometimes the speaking releases. So ownership and release are just the two words that come up when you speak that question. But it's a great question.
Thank you. It's beautiful, ownership and release.
And when someone is stuck, I just want to say one other thing that occurs to me. You know, when someone is stuck there, at any level of, and particularly in the energy of victim. That is the place that we as coaches really have to, I think, I won't say tread lightly, but tread with great awareness as to whether or not perhaps a therapeutic referral may be needed. And that's the tricky thing about catabolic energy. There isn't much awareness in it. And there's certainly very little awareness that something else might be possible.
So it the danger is that you could get stuck there.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, we all know people who have been, maybe there have been periods in our life where, you know, where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger in an organization is that a leader who's fearful for their job, who doesn't have confidence in their ability, and who is under financial pressure, you know, responds to all of those pressures, and really feels and really doesn't know that there are other choices available.
Mm-hmm.
Or doesn't have those choices available, awareness of those choices available to them.
So the perception is the reality, and therefore, you know, as coaches, we're always working with how to shift a perception.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. and there are times, I think, you know, I've certainly in my 20 years of coaching had them only a few times. When I recommended that a client do some therapeutic work in order to continue mm-hmm. coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great to have that clarity about where coaching starts and ends and
yeah.
how it's different from therapy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very, very, very important in our work. So I'm interested in learning more about the assessment. I'm also interested in the 8 building blocks of the energetic leader. And we've got, looks like, a little under 10 minutes. I want to remind our listeners that they can call in with a question at 424-243-9638. So, you spoke so highly of this assessment, and I'm interested in what it shows us.
Okay, so it shows a person their energetic profile. So those seven levels of energy that I described earlier, it shows the individual, based on their responses to a set of questions, how much energy, just under their normal operating self, they have at each of those seven levels of energy. And then it shows them what changes when they are under stress. So under stress, what happens with every assessment that I've done since I had this training, including my own, which someone else did before I did this training, under stress, the levels of catabolic energy go up, and they go up hugely. And so you are looking at a sheet of paper that that says, this is me and how I operate in each of the or how my energy is distributed among each of these seven levels. This is how I operate. Wow, that looks pretty good. Well, maybe a little more victim or a little more anger than I would like, but you know, enough that I can deal with. I'm operating at enough higher levels. And then you look at there's a graph below. I'm kind of reminded of that old commercial, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs, that has, I think, a picture of an egg or something like that. This is my energy under stress. And suddenly those higher levels of energy, the bar, it's a graph, so the bars on those higher levels of energy have become very much smaller, and the bars of the two lower, of the catabolic levels, have gotten bigger. And it tells me that, you know, how I'm operating under stress, which is when I probably need to operate at my best, is really not how I want to show up in the world. So what can I do about it? You know, it shows me.
Wow.
And then in going then through a debrief, I mean, that's the snapshot. And then I go through a debrief with the client, and we look at each of those, we talk about each of the levels and what they mean in more depth than, you know, we've gone into today. And we talk about, you know, where they show up. For the catabolic levels, we talk about what triggers them. And from that awareness, they are then begin to see, okay, you know, what, and ask questions. It sort of becomes the foundation for coaching them. What are the possibilities for shifting that energy, and what would it take? So it actually becomes the it can become the basis for how I coach somebody. And then just to weave in the eight building blocks of the energetic leader, and I'll just give a couple of examples: emotional intelligence, influencing and engaging others, health and wellness, and creating high energy relationships. We can look at each of those elements as it and the skills. There are skills associated with each of those elements. How can I help my client, or how can my client build skills in those areas that will support them in operating at the higher or anabolic levels of energy? So how can I help a client, you know, which of those building blocks will help a client, skills within those building blocks will help a client incorporate more of the energy of creativity into their, or of reconciliation into their team? How can I help a client become more?
I'm just looking at the clock here, and I want to make sure that we let our listeners know if coaches want to learn more about this. I'm absolutely fascinated by this. So if coaches want to learn more, to get some kind of training, or, you know, where should they go?
Well, I'm happy to talk with any of them about it, because I'm passionate about it and can share my own personal experience. I don't have this information even up on my website yet, but let me give you my phone number, and then I'll give you the IPEC website. So again, I'm Cindy Reinhart, and my phone number is 719-937-7801, or you can email me at Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at successzone.com. And if you want more information about the energy leadership training and system, go to the IPEC coaching. That's I-P as in Paul, E-C, coaching.com, or Google Energy Leadership, and their website will come up. I'd love it if you let them know that you got there. If you talk to the staff and decide to do the training, please let them know that you were listening to this show and to me, and it inspired you to follow that path, or encouraged you to look at it. And I encourage you to go get Dr. Snyder's, Bruce Snyder's book called Energy Leadership. It's a fascinating story of how he used this to transform a small business that was just about, with a catabolic leader that was just about to go out of business.
Wow, sounds great. So, Cindy, we've got about a minute, so any last words of wisdom, any inspiration that you can offer us as we wrap up here?
Wow. Let's go forth into this holiday season, this winter holiday season, with great joy, and amidst all the chaos and today sadness in the world, don't be an ostrich. And at the same time, bring joy and peace to everything you can.
Beautiful. Well, Cindy, I want to thank you so much on behalf of ICF Phoenix and all of our listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing your wisdom, for bringing your who you are as a coach to the show today. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Molly. It's been great fun getting to know you and dancing around a few breakdowns.
Likewise. All right. Take care, and happy holidays, everyone.